Shalom, this is Billy Brailman, the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, near Branson, Missouri. And today, I have a guest with me all the way from Israel, Rabbi Moshe Rothschild. Shalom.
Shalom. Great to be here.
Well, we're so glad to have you. Who are you, by the way?
That's a great question. I ask myself that question every day. The truth is, if you don't ask yourself that question every day, you should really be asking yourself that question. But I just flew in from Israel about a week ago. We moved to Israel, my wife and I, about 3 years ago. I was a congregational rabbi in Miami, Florida. I'm an Orthodox rabbi. And before that, I was actually a rabbi in Perth, Australia.
Mm.
Yeah, my wife and I were there. My first son was born there. And we served there in the community for a number of years. After having gone there for 10 summers, I worked in the Jewish community, and after 10 summers, they finally let me in. They said, okay, we'd like you to be the rabbi.
Did you happen to know Margaret Court while you were there? Famous tennis player.
Oh,
she
no.
She won more Grand Slams than anybody, male or female. And she has a great church. I go to Perth and speak at her church. She's got about a 5,000-member church and wow. school. And she's going to Israel this year for her first time. And her husband's in politics as well. And so anyway, it's good. You know, there's such a closeness between the Anzacs, the Aussies, the Australian New Zealand Army Corps, and the freeing of Jerusalem.
There's actually an Anzac memorial near the city of Beersheba.
Yes.
Because when the British came from the south, they conquered Israel from the south in World War I, the Anzacs helped out.
That's right. It's such a closeness, I believe.
I'll tell you something. When I was a rabbi in Perth, this is, you know, I'm sure we'll get into this later. This is really before I even knew there was such a thing as Christian Zionism. It was right in the middle of the Intifada, the uprising in Israel, and I was the rabbi there, and I said, we have to do something. So we organized a huge rally. And in Perth, there's only about 7,000 Jews. We had 3,000 come to the rally. We're talking about, on a per capita basis, the biggest rally in the world. So I was since I organized the event, I made myself the main speaker. And as I was speaking, I looked out into the crowd, and I saw standing in the back, and because we organized it in the field where the Jewish school was, but standing in the back were members of the church, which was right next door to the school. I was in shock, to be honest with you. I had no idea that you would have Christians come out for an event like this. And it wasn't until years later that I had that I acted on such a notion, but it was always in the back of my head. And I wish I could go back in time and go and talk to them. But I was so involved with the event, I didn't have a chance to go and speak with them, but they were standing there, and the name of their church, I don't remember what it was, saying, you know, we stand with Israel.
You know, Zionism, Rabbi, I think most of the people who listen to this will know what that means, but how do you define Zionism?
Ooh, that's a great question. Well, first of all, the word Zion is, you know, obviously from the Bible, and we say as part of our prayers every time we take out the Torah from the Ark, the Bible, we say Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah, which means out of Zion the Torah springs forth. So to me, Zionism always has a religious connotation. That's not true, though. Historically, it had a political connotation, but to me, it means the desperate longing and to return to the biblical land of Israel for the Jewish people. To me, that's what Zionism is.
That's what it means for the Jewish people.
Yeah.
And for Christian Zionists, what that means is we support you in that. Right. We believe that the land is yours and that God, according to his promise, is very faithful, and he's bringing you back and will complete his job, as it says. And so Christian Zionists are those who support you. And we are definitely Christian Zionists. We believe that the land belongs to Israel and that God's brought you home as a great sign to the world that he is God and that he keeps his covenant. Mm. He keeps his promise.
That, you know, is so, even though I've heard it in the last few years many times, is one of the most powerful things in my life, to be honest with you. When I first saw and heard about Christian Zionism, I literally was in tears, and I was so blown away by that concept that other than, of course, my friends and family and the Jewish people that understand deeply what Israel, what Zionism is, to see another group of people that honestly and with great integrity that support this notion was just touched my heart so deeply. And it just moves me to tears. I mean, I know you've probably said that a lot of times to people in your life. But for as the Jewish people to hear that, what that means to us, I mean, we're so grateful to have such good friends that stand with us and by us.
And it's because of what the Bible says.
Yeah.
We definitely agree with the Bible. And I have Hannah is not here today, but she's my daughter, Brenda's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And Hannah graduated from a Bible school.
Mm-hmm.
And she just took 2 years and she's going to go 2 years to a regular college. But one of her friends that she played basketball with, she's a real basketball star, my Hannah. And that little friend went on to another school. And she said, "Does your grandmother have any scriptures?" She said, "Our professor in the Middle Eastern studies said that the Palestinians have as much right to the land as the Jews." And so I said, "I'll get her some scriptures." So I went to my computer, Rabbi, and I have this mm-hmm. right in front of you, the Promised Land, the Eternal Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And I started getting the scriptures, and I have here 19 pages of small print just of God's promise to Israel for the land. This doesn't include all the promises that he's going to bring them home.
Right.
This is just where he said, you get the land, and the Jews get the land, Jacob's sons get the land, or whatever terminology he used in different scriptures, and they get it forever. And it is called the Eternal Covenant in Psalm 105. And so these scriptures we can make available to you. You can telephone us at 1-800-972-3447, or we've got them posted online at billybrim.org. So because of God's word, and you know, Rabbi Moshe, this is the only place I can find where God made a promise, and it says, "I lifted my hand." That means I swore.
Right.
I lifted my hand and said, "The Jews get this land forever." I took my oath. I gave my oath. The land, over and over it says, the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Mm-hmm. And so the covenant, this is in 1 Chronicles 16:16. The covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. And he also confirmed it to Jacob for a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, "To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance." That same promise is in Psalm 105. This is called the Everlasting Covenant. And in Isaiah 24:5, when it's talking about the judgment that's going to come on the world, and judgment does come, it says it's going to come. One of the reasons is because they broke the Everlasting Covenant. So the Everlasting Covenant promises you that land forever. And so that's what Christian Zionists are. So you were shocked to find any Christian Zionists, huh?
Yeah, it was news to me. It was completely
now,
new to me.
Here's the thing that I want our Christian audience mm-hmm. to understand. I have a book here I don't want any Jews to read, but I want my Christian friends to read it. The book is out of print,
mm-hmm.
and the book is named The Foot of Pride, and it's written by Malcolm Hay, H-E-Y. You have to go online to find out of print copies of it, and I've gotten several of these, but you can find it. So it was written by a Christian author, and the Christian author was very saddened to find, here's a subtitle, "The Pressure of Christendom on the People of Israel for 1900 Years. And so Malcolm Hay goes into some of the atrocities that your people have had to share, mm-hmm. have had to endure, not share, endure.
Hmm.
And you grew up where?
I grew up in New Jersey, and I want to react to what you're saying. Where I grew up, I never had any friends who were Christians. All my entire life, my friends, my family, my peer group, my social group was only Jews. the knee-jerk reaction in the Jewish community is, and I understand it, after 2,000 years of this, as you're saying, pressure of Christendom, was to become incredibly insular and to move away and mistrust anyone besides the people in our own community. And unfortunately, you know, history proved us right for a long time, but I think we're on the dawn of a new era. And
did you ever undergo any personal persecution?
Plenty.
What was it like?
We used to go with my friends. We used to play in the park all the time, football, baseball, and we always got made fun of because of wearing our yarmulke, which, if you don't know what that is, that's, you know, you know what it is, but maybe some of the listeners don't, but it's a little like a little cap, a hat that we wear to remind us that God is above us. So we're clearly identifiable as Jews. When I'm walking down the street, cars coming by, throwing pennies at us, you know, with the stereotype of the cheap Jew, which is, you know, a stereo anti-Semitic slur. I was never physically attacked, but we were verbally assaulted many, many times.
And what would they say? We can take it.
What would we say or what would they say?
What did they say?
They would yell things like Jew bagel or kike or cheap Jew or Christ killer.
Yeah, Christ killer.
Christ killer was a popular one. You know, those kinds of things.
And, you know, that is so amazing to me because Jesus said, now, for one thing, I believe it was our sins. You know, I'm a Christian, you're a Jew. Here's what I believe. I believe that our sins he carried. And so you might say it was me. But the thing about it was there was the Roman world, there was the Gentile world, there were only two groups of peoples. But whoever it was, he said, Father, forgive them. That's it, period. For any Christian who's a real Christian and a student of the book, I mean, that settles it. Forgiveness is forgiveness, right. And I've enjoyed forgiveness right. In my lifetime. Baruch Hashem, praise the Lord. So you can't say, this goes on. Now here's what I believe. And we're going to talk about this. We're really going to get going here this week. Now, we're going to let him tell some Jewish jokes, and we're going to let him be funny because you won. But you were named what now?
I was New York's funniest rabbi.
New York's funniest rabbi!
And believe me, with the history of Jewish comedy, that is not an easy title
it's
to win.
It's not easy, I know.
Yeah, it's not an
and
easy
so,
title.
And so we want you to talk about that, but we're going to just give maybe a little bit of church history. Mm-hmm. Along the line here, and why it's such a miracle that now God is bringing us together. So we're offering a special book this week. It's called The Mountains of Israel, The Bible, and What the World Calls the West Bank. This is something you really need to know, what God's Word has to say about that part of Israel, because everybody's looking at it right now. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447, and for only $8 plus shipping, you will get The Mountains of Israel. And this is Billy Brim and Rabbi Moshe
Rothschild
saying shalom, shalom, until tomorrow. And we want you to come back tomorrow. We're going to be all the week talking together.